We turn in the Word of God to Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, and we take in the first 13 verses. But the first two verses read, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." Amen. Thus far we read the Word of God. And our theme is truth needed. Truth needed. Ultimate truth is unobtainable except by revelation from God. Modernism was roughly the idea that everything could be explained by science and reason. Not surprisingly, perhaps, it was followed by what came to be known as postmodernism, where there is no absolute truth and you must find out what suits you, so that there is no absolute truth, you simply find out what suits, what fits, what you find most agreeable. Of course, it is fairly obvious that this means living in a fantasy world, because there must be final truth, and truth cannot be different from one person to another. But both these outlooks suggest that man is the be-all and end-all, that he's the end of all things. If he can't work it out, then there is no hope of knowing. If science and man's unaided reason doesn't produce the final answers, then we simply say there are no final answers and do your own thing as an individual. Whereas the failure of science and human reason to provide the ultimate answers ought to have caused men to think that man is in fact a finite and fallen creature, altogether dependent upon God for knowledge and understanding. He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? That we do not have independent knowledge and understanding. We need his word, the written revelation of God, and we need his spirit to give us as depraved sinners understanding in that word and the love of the truth it contains. So that man has learned nothing from the failure to find answers by his own endeavours. Rather, in the book of Ecclesiastes, there Solomon sought the answers in the things under the sun, and when he couldn't find them, he reaches the conclusion of the whole matter. Remember now thy Creator, and again, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In other words, when Solomon drew a blank from his pursuit of knowledge of things under the sun and could find no ultimate answers, the conclusion is that the answer is with God, and that the answer must come from God. And that is the correct deduction from the futility of knowledge divorced from God. When that fails to deliver, we ought to realize our need of knowledge from God, of revelation, of God speaking to us, as he has done in the Holy Scriptures. And so if we have been taught by the Spirit of God through the Word, we know that we need God to teach us, to be taught of God. We need the revealed Word, the Scriptures, and the enablement of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But first of all then, what we must give our children. What we must give our children. Verse 1 and 2. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. He would have these children know his law. But as Solomon was an inspired instructor, no doubt it was God's law. And he calls it my law, in the same sense as the apostle refers to the gospel as my gospel in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That is the gospel that's mine, in that I preach it. Not that he was the originator of it. He received it by revelation from God. That was the great offense to the Corinthians, that he didn't claim to be an original thinker, but a herald of a God-given message. But he calls it my gospel because he preached it. It was the gospel that he preached that taught that Jesus Christ was raised of the seed of David, was raised from the dead. Not the false gospels of others, but his gospel, God's gospel by origin, preached by the Apostle Paul through the enabling of his grace. And we find that the same here in Proverbs 4. My law refers to God's law, and it's good doctrine. Biblical truth is good doctrine, the best, the very best, the wisdom that comes from above, and we must give it to our children. And none of it can hurt them. None of it can hurt them. There is a notion, and even in some Christian circles, that we somehow have to shield our children from some parts of the Bible. We don't. We need to shield them from wickedness in the world, but not from the Word of God. Yes, we explain it according to their capacity and their level of understanding, but we do not, emphatically do not, need to protect our children from anything in the Holy Scriptures. And we must forget the nonsense about neutrality and letting our children find out for themselves, because it is nonsense. In Genesis 18 verse 10, the Lord says of Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment in the earth." He will command his children. He'll not tell them, take it or leave it. He'll not tell them, well, here's my perspective, but it's up to you. He will command them. We do not have access to our children's heart and will. Of course we don't. In that sense, we cannot make them believe what we teach them. We are dependent upon the Spirit of God. We also bear in mind the limits of their age and capacity. so that we're not overloading. But we must convey, as Solomon does, our personal joy in the truth and our enthusiasm for it as the word of the Lord. We must never pose as neutral, because if we're Christians, we're not. We can't have a new heart from God and be neutral about anything in his word. There is no neutrality. To try and teach neutrally is to teach unbelief. And why would a God who we can profess neutrality about be worth knowing? A Saviour who we don't think is worth urging upon them, taste and see that the Lord is good. What sort of Saviour is that? If we have tasted that the Lord is gracious ourselves, we want others to do the same. And we want our children to follow us in the truth. So the idea of neutrality, supposedly, is out of the question. A complete non-starter. It is no Christian nurture to pretend that we don't know or that it doesn't matter. We teach the truth with confidence that it is the truth. Yes, we show what there is in the world from the standpoint of truth. Secondly, truth for all generations. Truth for all generations. Verse 3. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Solomon recalls his boyhood. He was tender and beloved. He was tender when he was young and beloved by his father and also his mother. 1 Chronicles 3 verse 5 shows that he wasn't an only child of his mother. And there were born unto him in Jerusalem Shimeah and Shobab and Nathan and Solomon, 4 of Bethshua, the daughter of Amiel. But when it says she was tender, that he was beloved in the sight of his mother, that his mother regarded him, the term means loved as if and only beloved in the sight of my mother. It isn't to be taken as that he was an only son, but he was loved like an only son would be. In other words, he was much loved by his mother. And Solomon's father, David, had taught him God's truth. There is a question as to how much of what follows is David's instruction to Solomon, or Solomon simply speaking directly himself. But we can safely take up to verse 6 at least as being what David taught Solomon. And he taught Solomon the importance of getting wisdom and understanding. And Solomon now passes on to his children the same instruction. What does this tell us? It tells us that the truth needed does not change from one generation to another. Yes, there are new applications as new situations arise. We must apply the Word of God to technological changes and situations that the next generation face that were never faced in the same form by their parents or grandparents. But it's the same Word of God that has to be explained and applied. In other words, God has given us his word, and that word is applicable and to be taught to every generation. Among the people of God, the same truth that was taught in biblical times is to be taught to the children brought up in the church of God to the end of the world. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 is speaking about ministers, teaching ministers or future ministers. Thou therefore, my strong son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So he's saying, what I've taught you, you teach to faithful men, so that those faithful men can teach others. In other words, there is a passing down, a handing down of the truth, not in the Romish sense of apostolic succession, but in the sense that the truth, the revealed truth given through the apostles and prophets, the scriptures, that truth is to be taught from one generation of teachers to another so that they can teach the people of God. Well, the same thing is to happen in the family. We sang of it in Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, and verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that a generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Truth for all generations in the Word of God. We don't need to introduce novelty or originality. We are simply to be faithful to our trust, which is to teach the Word of God. Have you taught your children, if you are a parent, are you teaching your children the Word of God, the truth of God? Are you faithful in your generation? And those who may become parents, are you committed in your heart and mind that if you marry, you will marry in the Lord to teach the children the truth of God together? Some of you were taught the truth by your parents, and they were taught by their parents. Is this teaching of the truth going to fizzle out in your generation? Or are you determined by the grace of God that if you are or become a parent, you will teach the truth of God? Solomon had been taught, and Solomon teaches the generation following. Thirdly, what education is about. What education is about. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honour when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, that is, the first thing. Now, back in chapter 1, we read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But here we're told that wisdom is the principal thing, the first thing. So the fear of the Lord is the first thing, the beginning of the beginning. That is, if wisdom is the principal or first thing, then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that wisdom. In other words, the fear of the Lord is absolutely fundamental. And the wisdom that begins with that fear is to be the primary aim. All instruction in facts is to be geared towards this wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the ability to apply God's word in life. And understanding means understanding God's word and how it bears upon a particular situation. You see, you can't really understand anything properly without the knowledge of God. The unbeliever can understand many facts, but they just hang there. There's no cohesion, no coherence. They're just facts. Whereas the Christian understands where those facts came from and that they are there in the providence and plan of God. That's true whether we're talking about scientific facts or historical facts, any facts. Real facts are God-ordained facts. And real wisdom must begin with the fear of the Lord, because the unbeliever, he has, it's like an arch with the keystone missing. It all collapses without the knowledge of God. And so verse 8 and 9, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honour when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Wisdom is here spoken of as if she were a woman. It's personified. And what this is saying is, treat her well and she'll do thee good. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. If we prize wisdom, we'll become wise to our great benefit. That's the idea. And it begins with the fear of the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Philippians 3:7-8, that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. We are to be wise unto salvation through the gospel, and we are then to increase in understanding. So 1 Peter 2, verse 2 and 3, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's the idea. We begin with the fear of the Lord, and we grow in wisdom and understanding as the word of God becomes more and more clear to us by the blessing of the Spirit, and we see how it applies in our lives. And such a life of godliness, a life where the word of God is believed and understood and lived by, is an ornament. It is an ornament. Is there anything more beautiful than a consistent, godly life? All the razzmatazz of the celebrity is worth nothing compared to the ornament of a godly life governed by the wisdom of applying the word of God. Fourthly, no excuses for the well-taught. No excuses for the well-taught. Verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. By the blessing of God, a right path and a steady walk will result. Even under pressure, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. That is, the man whose heart is set upon the word of God and is devoted to the fear of the Lord, trusting in his word, even in pressure, even when he must run, he doesn't abandon the fear of God. The truth of God and following the truth of God is an ingrained practice. And so even under pressure, he remembers the word of the Lord. And in verse 13, Solomon gives a further admonition. Thou hast take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. You say, but this is rather serious for the young. Youth must have its fling. Well, must youth have its fling? Oh, yes. Legitimate youthful things. There are things you can do in youth that you haven't the energy, the ability, or the strength to do when you're older. And who would begrudge the young those youthful, lawful activities? But no youthful fling that involves setting aside the fear of the Lord can ever be right. Young people don't need experience of the sins of the world. They don't. Do we really think that experience of sin in its depths is necessary? Should we not simply believe God? Wasn't that the issue in part in the Garden of Eden? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't just take God's word for it. Find out for yourself. That sort of fling is utterly unnecessary, worthless, and exceedingly dangerous. For those younger ones who are here this evening, what are you doing with all the instruction given to you? The Word of God. You hear that word from your parents in the home and here in Sabbath school and in the services. You hear the Word of God. You're taught the Word of God. You learn the Word of God, and that's right. Can't apply a word that you never remember. But the first thing is, are you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ? Instruction does not mechanically produce faith. Has the Holy Spirit convinced you of the truth and that you're a sinner and that Christ is the only Saviour? And do you rely upon him? And then, if that is so, are you growing in factual knowledge, but more than that, in the fear of God, in the desire to honour the Lord in all things? But it's true for us all, because the old are not automatically wise. They should be, but it's not automatic. Are we wise unto salvation, trusting in the Lord Jesus? Are we growing in grace? Are we abiding in the vine and bringing forth fruit? Our Christian lives fluctuate, and they can fluctuate dramatically. Even for the true believer, trusting in Christ to save him from his sins. But the zeal of youth can give way not merely to mellowing and maturing, which is good, but to stagnation, which is not. You cannot do what you used to do. You haven't the energy, the strength, the ability. Of course not. But the zeal for God and for his glory should be no less than it ever was, no matter how old you are. The zeal for God should increase, even if outward activity is more limited. The zeal should magnify later on in the chapter. The path of the just is like a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Do we have this wisdom? Are we increasing in wisdom? In devotion to the Lord, in accordance with his word. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts, and that we might all be found in Christ, and being rooted and built up in him, who is the head of all principality and power, and in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Bless us, bless the children, bless the young people, keep them from this evil generation, and that we might all be found walking in the truth, trusting in the Saviour, and devoted to thy fear, that we might glorify thee in our generations, and that we might at length magnify thee forever in the world to come, but that even here we might show forth the praises of the Lord and his almighty strength. And all that we ask is for Christ's sake. Amen.